Hi everyone, this is Diederik, and I want to welcome you to the second live call for the Agents of Conscious Business course. Today we'll be covering Module 2 on Integral Leadership, which was originally taught by Brett Thomas. I noticed the music just finished there, so I thought this was a good moment to come in. There's still a few people joining us. Of course, you won't notice any of that, but I can see all of that and manage that, so that's great. So today, all about leadership, specifically integral leadership, or as we could call it, conscious leadership. As a quick reminder, last week, in the first module, we covered our goals. So what is it that you want to get out of this course? So I hope you managed to either join or listen to the recording of that call, and that you've done a bit of work clarifying why did you really join this course? Where do you want to be by the end of it? What specifically do you want to get out of it? Maybe you've used a workbook to do that, to actually literally define some goals. That's even better. So we'll build on it by starting with the first actual content this week. The class for Module 2 on Leadership was taught by Brett Thomas, as I've said, I'm hoping many of you will have been able to look at some of the resources that are available. This class was particularly rich, and you will probably have seen that there are a lot of resources available for this class. First, though, I'll tell you a little bit about the structure of today's call. All in all, it'll take around 90 minutes, and for the first 60 of them, we'll start in a minute by quickly covering some of the big ideas of this class, just you know, to remember what it was about, if it's been a while since you last listened to that, and from there, we'll do some breakout work, because of course that's the really cool stuff about using this technology, doing live calls. As opposed to listening to a recording, you can actually jump in and interact and hear others and also share with others. So we'll definitely be making good use of that. And in fact, after doing that first breakout, we'll be doing a short exercise and then a second breakout. So all of that should take us to about the 60-minute mark. And from there, we'll transition into the last 30 minutes, which is going to be more of an open discussion forum, which on the last call I framed as being almost like going to the cafe after a workshop. We'll do that again. We'll actually do it every week, just to give you a chance to get to know each other better, to kind of debrief and reflect, to at least virtually have a beer, if not for real, and maybe to unpack some more of the insights. So that's always a great part of these calls as well. And then after 90 minutes, we'll wrap up for this week. Where I want to start now is by doing another quick poll. We did one last week, and we're going to do the exact same one, because particularly as we're starting these calls, this is only the second one, we have a mix of graduates of the first course and also new agents that have just joined the second course, and it'll be quite useful for me to get a sense of who is in the room, the virtual room, and particularly who has listened to the class recording for this week's call for Module 2, because if you have, then we'll be able to cover a little bit more ground and do it more quickly, and if you haven't, we'll still do that, because I'm just going to assume that you have at least looked at some of it, but I might go a little bit slower and maybe unpack some of those ideas a little bit more. So as a quick poll, if you've managed to listen to the recording, even if it's just part of it, or maybe you've looked at the workbook, then I'd like you to press 1 on your dial pad or in your handset. And if this week you have not been able to listen to the recording, and this whole topic of integral leadership is relatively new to you, then just press 2 on your dial pad. That should give me a sense of where you all are. So far, looking good. Almost all of you seem to have managed to listen to the recording or looked at some of the material. which is awesome because we'll be able to move a bit quicker and go a little deeper. So I'm really excited to see that. In fact, I have about a 90% response rate here, and I can say that all of those who responded have listened to the recording. So that's awesome. Great work. So in that case, I'm going to move on. First, what was covered in the class? And I'll be brief because, well, it appears that most, if not all of you, have already listened to it. So the class was about integral leadership. And Brett defined leadership as the capacity to motivate and influence other people to achieve certain significant results. That's a very broad and very general definition, but it serves to at least give us a ballpark idea of what we're talking about. That also means that leadership here is not just about being, let's say, a manager or a formal leader. This kind of leadership can be exercised in any kind of role, in any context, including possibly your family, in the community. So this is not the kind of formal leadership that we talk about when we talk about a CEO or a manager, although that includes it, of course. And Brett started by making the point that there are many different approaches. Obviously, you can pick up on that by just looking at the leadership section of your local bookstore. But that one-size-fits-all approaches don't work. So the promise of integral leadership is to know when to use a certain type of leadership or a certain leadership style with whom to achieve which results. So it's a little bit more versatile. It's not just about having a hammer and then every problem looks like a nail. It actually means in addition to a hammer, you have a number of other tools as well that you'll have available. So when it comes to conscious business, which of course is the key theme of this course, some of us tend to talk about conscious business in a rather technical way, you could say. We talk about consciousness, we talk about maybe personal development, maybe stages of development, states. We can use all kinds of language that maybe not everyone will understand. So what Brett really invited us to do is to think about taking responsibility to translate what's most important to us, including some of the ideas of conscious business, into a simplicity on the other side of complexity. So that's kind of a very key idea. And then, of course, the rest of the class was spent unpacking how do you actually do that. And we talked about the leadership meta questions. Now, how do you really get a sense of what is happening in a given situation? What can you be spending or directing your attention towards? And then also, what is most important and to whom? So really starting to use those values lenses and the worldviews that Brett introduced and using them to make sense of challenging situations. And then, of course, the third meta question there was, what is the most helpful action that you can take based on that information? So this is all about becoming more conscious as a leader and then taking more helpful, more conscious action. And then finally, he went into those worldviews specifically, and he used a model where he emphasized four, those four being autocratic, authoritarian, strategic, and collaborative. And I'm sure we'll be talking about that a little bit more today. In fact, it reminds me that it'll be useful for you to have a couple of materials available to you as we go through this call. And one in particular will be the Universal Translator reference sheet that actually goes into a lot of depth onto what these four worldviews look like. So if you haven't already found those, you'll find them on the Academy website. And if you're still able at this point to just quickly grab those, either digitally or as a printout, that will probably help you as you can keep referring to that. Okay, so those were some of the big ideas that Brett shared and that he covered. And I want to give one example of how I've used Brett's ideas to translate a message that was dear to me, that's important to me, into another worldview. And the message that I wanted to get out there was basically the one of conscious business. Now, some of you may know that I also run another consulting company on the side, or as a matter of fact, Waking Up the Workplace is more on the side. And that consulting company is called Realize, and its key mission is to bring more conscious business into the world and to support that process. So for a long time, we were very explicit with that, and we talked about conscious business and consciousness, and that worked with some people and not with others, as you would expect. And then over time, as I started to get this concept of integral leadership and of translation, I started to clarify the kinds of clients that I was talking to and the kinds of worldviews that they would have, the kinds of preferred leadership styles. And in that case, I was doing a lot of work with fast-growing companies, rather small companies, but fast-growing. And their founders and entrepreneurs often had a very strategic leadership style. So one of the ways in which we translated our message of conscious business was to appeal to that process of fast growth, where we said that if you're in a process of fast growth as a company, that is a highly dynamic and highly complex situation, where you need to be making spur-of-the-moment strategic trade-offs that will help you be successful in the long run. And we use words like being alert, making those spur-of-the-moment decisions, talking about agility, being able to adapt to circumstances and to grasp opportunities in the marketplace. And we talked about versatility, a word that Brett likes to use a lot, which is about being able to pick up on different conditions and then almost be opportunistic and be effective in adapting. So I don't want to go into it too long. I just wanted to quickly illustrate that idea. And I also want to move on and hear some of your examples. I think particularly if you've looked at the workbook, you may have done some work on this already. And I'm going to put you in breakout groups so that you can share with a few other people where you are exercising leadership, and also maybe what are some of the dominant worldviews in that context. So I'll repeat that in a moment, but before I do that, for those of you that are new to this format, and I see that there are a few, one of the cool things about this technology, this conference call technology, is that we can break you out into smaller groups where you can talk to two or three other people, which of course works a lot easier than having to go one at a time. So in a moment, I'll actually virtually do that, break you out into groups of three, and when you hear a chime, you'll find yourself in a virtual breakout room with two other people, and when you hear the chime, you can just announce yourself, maybe state your name, where you're from if you want. And then from there, you can go into the dialogue. Mostly, it will take about 10 minutes for that, 10 to 12 minutes. So make sure that everyone gets a chance to share. And before we go into those breakout rooms, I'll repeat the question that I invite you to talk about with the others, which is, where are you exercising leadership using the definition that Brett uses, meaning where are you motivating and influencing other people to achieve significant results in your life? If there are many places, just pick one that's particularly relevant for you now. And then in addition, what are the dominant worldviews in those contexts? And I'll just repeat them briefly. The four that we'll focus on in particular are autocratic, or red. What's the color that Brett used? Authoritarian, or blue. The third, strategic, or orange. And the fourth, collaborative, or green. So when you hear the chime, you'll have about 10 to 12 minutes, and I'll probably pop in now and then to tell you how much time is left. So enjoy. Right, so welcome back, everyone. I imagine if that was new for you, this experience of breakout groups, I think it was for some of you, then maybe a little bit of a strange experience going from a virtual main room where you can just hear me and no one can hear you into a smaller room where all of a sudden you can hear other people and you can talk. But I'm sure you'll get used to it really quickly, and I hope that you'll really use the opportunity to get to know some of your fellow agents and to unpack some of your learning. So as always, I kind of peek in some of the doors and some of the rooms to see if everything's going all right. And it sounded like you were having some awesome conversations. It's always very hard to come in and end these conversations because I imagine you would want to go on for a bit more. But rest assured, we'll do another one in a little bit. And then, of course, the last 30 minutes will be spent in just open discussion in a little bit larger group. So you have plenty of opportunity to get to know some of the other people. Now, before we move on, I'd like to hear from maybe just one or two people about their conversations, about where they're exercising leadership and what are some of the dominant worldviews. And then after that, we'll move into an exercise. So if you want to share, then just dial one, and then I will be able to hand you a microphone so you can speak. So just press one. And I'll start with Christiana. Hi, Christiana.
Hi. Nice to hear you again. Just a couple of things I wanted to talk about that we discussed. One of them is how from looking at the different styles, that one of them is more we're all comfortable with one more than the others. And as we try to sort of develop skills in the other, these frustration or the feelings that we feel, you know, that we're out of our comfort zone, and it makes us feel sometimes, are we being a really good leader if we're moving out of where we feel comfortable? And the other one is how society or how our culture expects a leader to be a certain type of person. And so, for example, if you're being collaborative, a lot of people sort of say, well, are you really a leader? Because why aren't you making decisions? Why aren't you telling us exactly what to do? You know, and so there was a discussion about people feeling being accustomed to having a strong authority figure in a lot of our cultures and expecting that from a leader and feeling quite uncomfortable with voicing their opinion and perhaps not having been heard in the past and listened to. So anyways, it's just kind of some thoughts that were coming around in our group, and I thought it might be nice to share.
Nice. Thank you for sharing. And it really reminds me of what Brett was talking about as well, that all the tools that we have available are still useful, but that they now have four settings. They have an authoritarian setting, an autocratic setting, collaborative setting, a strategic setting, which I thought was really a nice way of putting it. So it's not that they all of a sudden go away and something else comes in. We can still use those, but with awareness of what's most helpful in the moment. And I also remember Dino in the call, in the recording, talking about working across the world in different cultures, where in some cultures an authoritarian leadership style is very comfortable and even expected, whereas in others, for example, in the Netherlands, where I live, a collaborative style is much more common and in fact probably more comfortable for most than authoritarian. So that comes into it as well, really interesting, particularly as I know that we have people from across the world in this call, Europe, North America, Africa, Australia. So Australia not today, I think, because it's very late there, but they are on the course at least, so that's cool. Okay, so in terms of time, I just want to move on and make sure that we have enough time for the next exercise and the breakout following that. Some of you may have already done this, but I don't think that you can do this often enough because it's really a skill or almost a muscle that you can build. And the next exercise, we're going to exercise that muscle a bit more. And of course, it's going to be about translating messages. So based on your conversation of just now about where you're exercising leadership and also what are some of the main worldviews in that context, I'd like you to think about a key message that's important to you right now. As one example, you could use the idea of conscious business as a very general one, and thinking about how you might be able to translate that message or some specific aspect of that into some of the worldviews that are most relevant in your context. So maybe translating it, as in the example that I gave, into more of a strategic leadership context, or maybe even autocratic. But it doesn't have to be a conscious business message. It could actually be something else, because maybe you're in a challenging situation where you need to give someone some feedback, or there's a difficult conversation that's coming up with your boss or with a colleague or with a spouse, where there's something that's really important to you that you want to share, and yet it seems as if they aren't getting it, they aren't getting you. And maybe, you know, you can try and take some responsibility to translate that, see what happens. So for that exercise, it will be really useful if you have the universal translator reference sheet that I talked about before, which again you'll find on the Academy website. And I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to just do some quiet journaling individually, so not in groups, but just by yourself, where you can either take the worksheet that you can also find on the Academy website, or just a blank piece of paper, and you begin by writing down your key message, maybe just one or two sentences, and maybe it's something like, what is really important to me that I want to share is, I just finished that sentence. And then try to, using the reference sheet, or even without it if you want, try to translate that message into at least one or two other lenses or worldviews. And if you want, you can try them all. There's always one that's really hard and one that's really easy. So that should be interesting. And then after about 3 minutes, I'll sound the chime, and then we'll do a bit of sharing in breakout groups. So for now, make sure you have the reference sheet and a piece of paper, or at the very least a piece of paper, and then you can, you know, do it by heart. And we'll take 3 minutes of quiet journaling on that. Enjoy. Great, that was about 3 minutes, and I'm immediately going to move you into groups of three, so you can just reflect briefly on that experience of translating. Would be nice if you could share your key message briefly, and then maybe one or two of your translations, maybe the ones that you liked most or the ones that were hardest, and maybe also share what that was like. Was it easy? Was it hard? Did you like it? Which ones did you notice were very easy? Which ones were very hard? And just make sure, we'll take for three people about, let's say, 10 minutes. So just make sure that you all get a chance to share. So when you hear the chime again, just announce yourself and dive in. Welcome back, everyone. I think that went pretty well. I want to recognize what a challenge that was, because of course I gave you 3 minutes to do something that is exceedingly difficult, and that might be one of the reasons why you even joined this course, which is to learn to communicate and present some of your ideas in a way that is more conscious and more authentic, and yet also effective. Because that's what often seems to be the trade-off. Either I can communicate authentically and say what I really, really believe, but maybe alienate others, or they may not get me, so it's not going to be very effective. Or I come in and I communicate very effectively, but I don't really say what I mean. I'm not really authentic. And both of those trade-offs somehow are lacking. One in authenticity, the other in effectiveness. So I think the promise of conscious business is that we need not choose between the one or the other, but that it is somehow possible to integrate those two. And yet, that is pretty hard. So I also want to remind you that this was just a few minutes of getting a feel of it. For some of you, it may have been the first time that you've been exposed to this kind of thinking about worldviews. and that you've done this kind of exercise. For others, particularly graduates, you may have had a bit more experience by now. I trust so that it's been useful for most, if not all of you. I can definitely say that each time I do this again, I sit down to think about something that's important to me and how I can translate that, that yields new insight. And also, I want to emphasize that this theme of authentic communication and leadership is one that will be almost a red thread throughout this course. Not the only one, but one of them. And we'll talk about communication at least in three other modules. I'm thinking particularly of the ones with Bill Torbert, where we will also be looking at different modes of communication, different ways of using language. The module with Fred Kaufman, where we will be looking and even getting a live example of Fred coaching someone on the call using specific ways of communicating. And finally, towards the end, I think in the eighth module, with Rand Stegen, who will even give us one example where he and his firm worked with 1,000 CEOs of sort of medium-sized organizations across the world who met in Singapore for a CEO summit, and where by the end of a couple-day process, he in fact got them to in effect meditate, although I don't think they call it that, but closing their eyes and really turning their attention inside by using translation, interval leadership, and other ways of skillfully communicating. So there's going to be a few more opportunities for you to dive in. This is almost just a first go. So we're almost at the 60-minute mark, and it's more or less flexible, so we can take a couple minutes. But I'd love to hear from a few people what that was like, how hard it was, how easy it was. Did you get something out of that? If so, what? And if you want to share, then just, again, press 1 on your dial pad or on your handset. And particularly maybe for some of the new people, I know there's a few graduates in here, you're welcome to chime in, but it'd also be great to hear from a few new agents what that was like. So I can see a few hands going up, and I'll hand you a mic. Let's start with Sharona. Hi.
Hi there. You got me? You can hear me okay? Hello?
Again, I hope you can hear me.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, good. Thank you. A couple of things on this. What I found in my group and also what was difficult, first of all, it seems to me that probably most people in this group are postmodern or green or whatever category you want to use. And so we may all be experiencing similar things, which is how to translate this new understanding that's recently come online of the importance of our interiors. And, you know, there's a lot of language in my group. We spoke about love. We spoke about emotions. And, you know, there are all sorts of ways to do that in postmodern, but boy, as soon as we start to try and get into, you know, blues and reds and things like that, it's just like I don't have that language right now, you know. And so I'm really hoping that others who may have already leaned into this can chime in and you know, help with some translation on that. And we also said that evolution is causing development, and so that even though the language isn't there, the tendency in each level is to still reach for the next level, whatever that is. So it's an amazing skill, and I'm looking forward to hearing how anybody answers any of those questions.
Yes, thanks for sharing it. And I think that definitely resonates with me. I can imagine it might resonate with a lot of us, because even this language of conscious business, calling something conscious business, you could argue is coming from the postmodern language. So I agree that probably a lot of the people that are attracted to this will feel very comfortable with that language and with that style, and maybe less comfortable with what feels like almost the opposite, like the autocratic or authoritarian worldviews. And one resource that I want to make sure you're aware of is at the end of the workbook for Module 2, Brett has shared as a bonus a number of practice guidelines and tips which take you through a number of levels, because of course you cannot go from 0 to 100. You cannot go from being completely uncomfortable with it and then fully embodying the leadership style. So he outlines three levels, the first one of which is recognizing the mindset in yourself and in others around you. And he talks about, you can watch movies, you can look at advertisements, you can look at your books, maybe coworkers, starting to notice clues, even doing what he calls field trips, where you really immerse yourself in another values culture. And then from there, move on to skill level 2, which is translating into the dialect, which is actually what we're doing now. So in a way, we're kind of skipping that and going right to level 2, which takes a lot of rehearsal and practice and trial. And it's great if you can get someone else, either virtually through this course or someone in your neighborhood, to sit down and role play these with them. And then finally, you get to level 3, which is really embodying that style and being fully versatile in moving between different styles depending on what's needed. So I just wanted to make sure that you were aware of those resources, all of you, if you want to dig deeper. So thanks again. And let's hear from Melvin.
Hi there, Diedrich. In our group, what really came out, and it's actually been very eloquently summed up by Brett Thomas, you were just mentioning, is the stages you go through with, I guess, understanding the integral model and in trying to apply it. So there's identifying yourself with the various worldviews, and that can be quite a struggle. Where do you put yourself? And then it's obviously the next level is learning the languages of how to interact with these different worldviews. For me, a big learning I've had to undergo is learning the language of the business, the strategic worldview, because my background and upbringing was quite collaborative, I suppose, quite green. And then obviously the ultimate is being able to practice it. So it's all very well understanding the theories mentally, but then when you're in the situation in front of a group of people and having to try and communicate with them, that's the skill that only comes with time. And I think I've had a few skills that have come in the last year, mainly through having to practice it, I suppose, having quite a demanding job, but also holding those perspectives as much as possible in awareness while I'm doing my job. The place we're all aiming for, I guess, with this course and ultimately is to be able to operate authentically in the moment within these worldviews. So yeah, that's what stood out for me.
Yes, yeah, that really resonates. Thank you for sharing that. And it reminds me of the opposite of what we're all trying to do, which is to move from the theory of conscious business, and in this case of integral leadership, into the practice of it, which is messy and takes sets. It may easily take months or even a year or more than that to even begin to recognize and translate into a different language or worldview. And yet that's what this course is all about, what we're here to do. So again, thank you for sharing that. It really resonates.
Thank you.
Maybe briefly a last one before we move on to, or we go to the cafe, if you will. Let's hear from Jaco. Hi, Jaco.
Hi. Do you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Thanks, Diedrich, for explaining a lot of those things. I was in the same discussion with Melvin, but maybe different. Another thing that we discussed was sometimes it's hard when you enter into a group that might have more than one view, how do you get into it? Because you can't explain yourself, your message in four different worldviews or colors in the same in one sentence. So if you don't know the group, or it's hard to be, I think it's hard to serve the various worldviews and trying to translate to those views. So I'm wondering how that can be done. How can practice that also?
Great question. I wish we had Brett in the room with us, as we did before, to answer that. I mean, the thoughts that come up for me are, yes, that adds another level of complexity, and actually it's realistic, because none of us ever have one style. It's never black and white. We at least always have a secondary style, and often we can even move around throughout the day. Depending on our energy levels, we may become a little bit more autocratic, or even depending on the context. Maybe at home we're more collaborative, in the workplace we're more strategic. So yes, it is actually a lot more messy, and I guess you can never really hit all the styles in any one way of communicating or in any one presentation. Although I think that in the call, Brett was really emphasizing that this is not a tool to manipulate others into kind of getting it, or making them do what you want, or influencing them in other ways. It's really about becoming more authentic in terms of finding, let's say, for example, the authoritarian leadership style in yourself, so that you can speak authentically from that. And yes, if you do have a mixed audience, then I guess the challenge would be to try to find that mix in yourself, or at least maybe the dominant two, and to weave those in, and maybe even use some of the kind of motivational drivers that Brett has summarized on the reference sheet. And yet, you can only do, you can probably only do better, but there's no perfect, there's no hitting all of the styles, I think. Those are my thoughts on it. Is that relevant?
I think so. If you enter a new group or you have to do a presentation or a workshop or something like that, that you act from your, I think, your dominant own, your own dominant worldview, and then you have to be really open-minded and maybe listen very carefully, very thoroughly, and tune in to people who are asking for an explanation and trying to tune the answer to the explanation in one of the worldview colors. So maybe that's also a way to cope with what you meet on the way.
Yes, yeah, that resonates. Thanks for sharing, Jaco.
Okay.
So I want to make sure that we have enough time for the last part. Just a few thoughts before I break us all out into somewhat larger groups this time, maybe four or five. So you can just discuss or reflect, talk about whatever comes up. That's completely open. So what I wanted to share is that, as always, the recording of this call will be up in the next 24 hours. So if you want to review it, you'll find it in about 24 hours on the Academy website. And I also really encourage you, if you maybe didn't get a chance to share what you were thinking about, or you did but you want to continue talking about that, we don't have the teachers available directly as we did in the first course, because this is more of a home study format. But of course, we have the community of both graduates who were there and also new agents. So I really invite you to share your thoughts, questions on the Academy website, particularly if it's about integral leadership, on the one for Module 2. You'll find quite a bit of discussion already has happened there after the first time we had the call, and I'd love to continue that conversation, and I'll make sure that I will at least keep an eye on that and invite others to respond. And then finally, next week's call for Module 3 will be with Brian Robertson. And I think it will build on this because it will really invite us to think of ourselves as sensors. As soon as we show up in an organization or in a team, that we become a sensor for that team's or for that organization's reality and where it is vis-a-vis its purpose. So I don't want to give too much away, but I'm definitely looking forward to that class. And as always, recommend that you, at the very least, check out the recording of the class with Brian and maybe look into some of the resources and the exercises in the workbook. But that's next week. And before we go there, let's have some open discussion. We have about 20 minutes left, so we'll take about 15 minutes of breakouts, and then afterwards maybe invite one or two to share before we wrap up. So give me a second to break you out into groups, and as soon as you hear the chime, as always, you'll be able to announce yourself and have a virtual beer. Right, so we're back for the last 5 minutes. I'd love to hear maybe from one or two of you what you discussed, what you talked about. I also noticed, from peeking into your rooms and hearing some stuff, that I realized I said we could have a virtual beer in the cafe, which is kind of weird if it's 10 a.m. in the morning. So that's where my local time zone is coming out. It's about 7:30. p.m. here now, and I'm about ready to have a beer. But I can imagine that if you're at work or if it's morning where you live, then that may not be the best idea of practicing conscious business. So on a more serious note, there were two other things that I wanted to share. One is that on the Academy website for Module 2, you'll also find a video, which I think you'll find very helpful. I'm not sure how long it is. It's not that long, and it goes into those different leadership styles in a bit more depth. So that will be a great resource, in addition to everything else that's there. Brett's been very generous in sharing resources and articles, so you'll find a lot there. As a last thing, I know a lot of you were also thinking about, how do I actually do this? I heard someone mention, how do I... should I be listening or should I be presenting and leading the group, or how do I work with that? And I was glad to hear that, because that will be the topic of, I think, Module 4 with Bill Torbert. And, of course, we'll cover it in other modules as well, but specifically we'll talk about different modes of communication that will be very relevant for this. So, more to come. But now maybe time for one or two of you to raise your hand by pressing 1 and just leaving us with some closing thoughts for today. That would be fun. If there is anyone that has anything to share, and if you all feel that everything's been said, then of course that's fine, and then we'll close. But if you do want to share, just press 1. And if you haven't tried that out, this might be a great time to test that and try it, because there's not that much time. You won't have to discover or deliver a complete monologue. You can just chime in briefly. But it appears that all has been said in the cafe space. Either that or my technology isn't working. Wait, let me hand a mic to Christiana. Hi, Christiana.
Hi. I just felt it would be important to maybe share a few thoughts. And seeing as no one else is talking, I will. We talked a lot in our group about, how maybe the different styles, even though they appear to be different, the motivation of the individuals might be similar. And they may want to achieve, for example, world goodness or, something, decrease poverty or whatever it is with their company, or achieve something. And to be able to reach the individual on that basis, and if we can actually remain authentic ourselves, and I think that's the challenge, is how we can remain authentic given the others and use ourselves as a barometer. in how we respond to the different style might help the leaders themselves to, if they really want to achieve their objective, to look at their positioning and their approach and see whether or not that's working for them and what other options would they potentially have. And maybe that's one way of making them conscious of how they're approaching their workforce and are they really using the best method to achieve what they want to achieve. Anyways, just thoughts on the matter.
Yes, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And what particularly resonates for me is something that has come up again and again, which is authentic communication, which I think is really one of the keys here, is how to both be fully yourself and also be effective in a work environment or any other environment. So I think you really spoke into that as well. Thank you. With that, I think we've come to the end of today's call. I'm really happy that you were all here and that some of you, I think, were here for the first time, got a chance to experience the way that we run these calls, the technology, getting to know a few of the other participants. I really hope that all of you will be joining me for next week's call on Module 3 with Brian Robertson. The module is titled Plugging Your Organization into Evolution, and it's kind of a different perspective from what we've been talking about today, so I think it'll be interesting. And given that I've said all I wanted to say, I'm just going to open up the lines so we can all say goodbye, and that'll be it for today. So,
au revoir.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for being my tribe.
Yes, my tribe, our tribe.